SBS Radio.
Can I start by acknowledging the traditional custodians of Australia, pay my respects to elders past and present and emerging. I belong to the Goongri people, and I'd just like to acknowledge the hard work that goes into keeping us connected to our beautiful culture. I'd also like to acknowledge that my background involves other cultures, for example, European, as we know. Australia has been, somewhat of a multicultural nation since colonisation.
Australia Day is a day that raises a lot of passions. It's a day that the mainstream say it's a day that we should be celebrating, and new Australians also call it a day where we celebrate what it means to be Australians. But, and this is a very, very big but, this is done without taking into account that for Indigenous people, Australia Day means something totally different.
It certainly does. I mean, I can't speak on behalf of all Indigenous people. However, what I share today is, it's influenced by my personal experience. I was raised in a diverse family. I also, I've obtained some knowledge throughout my social work degree and, working within the child protection system for the past few years. I'd like to make it clear that I'm not denying the celebration of this great nation. However, what I do oppose to is celebrating this nation on a day that means something very different for Indigenous people, being the reminder of traumatic events, that occurred during colonisation. If we think about the forced removals, loss of identity, pretty much loss of the entire way of being. So therefore, you can appreciate the argument to change the date to celebrating Australia Day. And then, a common response to this argument is something that I've heard for many years, and I continue to hear it, and it's about it's in the past, and Indigenous people need to move on. However, this is where I'd like to discuss a little bit about intergenerational trauma and how it's an everlasting effect. I've been racking my brain the last couple of days to come up with an example that everyday people maybe be able to relate to,
Kelly,
hopefully provide some insight, understanding to why trauma is just not that simple to overcome.
Have the people from the other side of your heritage, how do they see this day?
I've been thinking back over the years to how my family celebrate Australia Day. I can't remember it being a big deal and something that was, celebrated every year in my younger years. However, as I've become an adult, there's barbecues, there's beers, you have the barbecue on the beach and you play cricket and all these kind of things that sort of come with being Australian. And I guess as I'd learnt and connected more with my Aboriginal heritage and culture, I started learning how this is quite inappropriate and quite disrespectful, and because of it's a day of mourning. January 26 is a constant reminder every year that on one side that you have this Australian people that are having barbecues, beers and celebrating this great nation. However, Indigenous people are really mourning the loss of their culture, that has been sustained for more than 65,000 years. I really struggle to make sense of it sometimes.
It's also the media leading up to the day. We've got all these I would say, ceremonial aspect of it. You've got the Australian Day honours. You've got the media talking about the public holiday. You've got advertising. I remember this guy who used to run a very funny ad for Lamb, the Lambassador, say celebrating it's a day we should sell. So there's the commercial aspect of it, so we can't escape it. You must celebrate seems to be the message that's being put out there. You must celebrate.
That's a big part of attitudes that develop over the years as well. It's a big part of it. You know, the media telling us what we should do and when we should do it, how we should do it, and the people, the community. That's what they do because they believe it to be true. They believe it to be real, and that's where media is quite unhealthy. And and I think if we're ever going to provide some insight and understanding of the significance of what's actually happened for Indigenous people, I think that's the sort of avenues where we need to challenge and change, not on a scale of where it's us and them, but providing a more inclusive idea, if you can say that, around Australia Day and how we can celebrate it as a nation, being respectful and inclusive of diverse cultures, because after all, Australia is a multicultural nation.
One of the arguments that is advanced by many that, well, it's in the past.
Yes,
move on.
It's a common response to this argument, and I've been racking my brain, you know, trying to come up with an example that, you know, everybody can kind of relate to, or at least have some understanding of, because it's something that we all sort of experience in our lifetime. You know, say for instance, a mother, you know, and a father have lost a child unexpectedly. You can imagine this is an extremely traumatic event. Naturally, the process after losing a loved one is to grieve and mourn the loss of that loved one, and then to remember this child on that anniversary, you know, of the death. But if we add a little bit of context around that scenario and just say, for example, a group of people have actually intentionally inflicted this on that child as out of hate, and then celebrated that every year whilst the family mourned and grieved the loss. Can that provide some sort of insight around, I know it's on such a smaller scale, opposed to what Indigenous people have faced, but I'm just trying to provide some insight to sort of trigger some understanding around just how Indigenous people may feel, you know, and then we talk about, well, it's in the past and we need to move on, to sort of make sense of how trauma affects people today. Is when we lose a loved one, we pass our pain and hurt onto the people around us in our life. Say, for example, you know, our children, they're in our life, so we're hurting and pain, you know, we have pain and we're hurting. We pass that on to our kids, and then our kids feel that as well. Say, for instance, if that was their sibling, they would feel that pain and you know, continue to have the effects of trauma. So that's just a simple sort of explanation around intergenerational trauma.
When you say intergenerational trauma, people don't realize the different circumstances that we live in are closely linked to actually our colonial heritage and past. Let's say even the convicts, when they came in and recovered their freedom, they were given land to start a new life, whereas Indigenous people lost that land and they were never compensated, never given anything to start a new life. And people who say, well, it's in the past. Well, yeah, it's in the past. If you're from a colonial background, your forebears, they did get some land, but how about the actual owners of the land? What did they get?
Mm-hmm. So and then every year on January 26th, Indigenous people are reminded of that.
They're reminded
of the significant traumatic events, you know, that occurred during re-establishing this nation. There was a, you know, this this nation was sustained, like I said, for more than 65,000 years, and then all of a sudden, gone.
Yeah.
Move on. It's quite harsh, you know. And all Indigenous people are asking for is to change the dates, you know, so that we can, so that it's more respectful and more inclusive to them as well.
Going forward, what would be the solution that you can see from your own experience?
I think education is key. I always come back to education because it's how we learn, it's how we understand things, you know, and then once we have understanding, you know, and some informed knowledge is when we can start having that empathy, when we can start considering other things and you know, learning things that we've sort of missed. And I think programs, you know, like this on radio, TV, in schools can potentially, you know, having these transparent discussions potentially, you know, aim to provide that insight. But the thing is, we need to be having these discussions through mainstream platforms, because are we getting the message across to our targeted audience when we're having, you know, we know that Indigenous groups are minority, so we have our radio stations, our TV programs, but are they reaching, you know, our target audience that have those entrenched attitudes? So I just think that it needs to be within the mainstream platforms so we can start challenging those entrenched attitudes.
And you've already done your little bit of contribution through a song. I have to remind our listeners that you are a singer-songwriter and you penned a song, Change the Date. Can you touch on that?
Yes, certainly. So last year I released a track that I collaborated with Mac Ridge. It's called Time for a Change. It's another platform, I guess, trying to promote some change and to provide some insight again, you know, to how Indigenous people may feel around January 26th. You know, there's other Indigenous artists out there, got some really cool music out there trying to do the same things, like having these discussions on here, and that's just another avenue for me to be able to get the message across. You know, it's the way of making change, and our people have been, you know, fighting for years and years and years to make some changes. And just on that changes note, I've noticed some positive sort of changes within government systems. So like on Centrelink websites and stuff, they're now putting up acknowledgements, you know, and I think this is fantastic. You know, and in the NRL football, you know, we've got some Indigenous key Indigenous people providing acknowledgement to country and stuff. So whilst it's a small change, it's a very good start, you know, and I'd like to leave on that positive note as well.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.